Welcome to Cricket World Hotspot, another audio version there with me, John Pennington, and Rob Johnson. Hello, Rob.
Hi, John.
And we're just going to have a little look back at the England's tour of the United Arab Emirates to play Pakistan. It's all finished now. And, Rob, we had a very entertaining 2020 series, didn't we? Both of us predicted England would win it. You with a lot more conviction than I should add. But, and England ran away with it, in a sense, winning 3-0.
Yes, that's right. I think it was an excellent series, actually. Some really good cricket played by both sides. And the final game, obviously, going to the Super Over was a really good finish. I think we mentioned before that series that for both sides, it was important leading into the World T20 early next year. And I think England will obviously be in a very good position now. They'll feel more comfortable knowing about certain players, especially in subcontinental conditions. And to win 3-0 in a T20 series is really impressive, because these games can be swung by the performances of, you know, one player or a couple of players. So to win 3-0 is a really good result. I still think Pakistan had some bright spots. You know, Shahid Afridi really galvanised his team, and I still think they're a dangerous side and will be dangerous next year. But yeah, really good for England and an excellent series.
Yeah, that super over delivered by Chris Jordan was an outstanding feat of bowling. Interesting, Owen Morgan sort of said, hasn't he? He's still not sure what his best team is. Do you think that's a positive or a negative?
Well, I guess going into the World T20, they'll want to know what their strongest 11 is, and I expect them in the South Africa tour, where they've got two T20s, to probably pick what they think is their strongest 11 and stick with it. So there was an amount of experimentation in this series. You know, they left players out in all three of the games and rotated the squad, and you had players like James Vince from Hampshire coming in and doing well, as did Parry from Lancashire. So I guess it's they probably would want to have their strongest team nailed down, but I think they've got a lot of options. I think they have got some good variety in their bowling attack. They've got some excellent power hitters in the batting, so they've got a lot of options. Whether that clouds things or not, we'll have to wait and see. But I think better to have those options than to be, you know, struggling around for to cobble an 11 together.
I think you're absolutely right there, Rob. Yeah, better to have a dilemma to who to pick as to sort of who to leave out, sort of thing. Just sort of, if we sort of merge, if you like, the T20s and the ODIs together, you mentioned James Vince there, Stephen Parry came in, with Alex Hales and Jason Royce scoring runs at the top of the order in the ODIs, Rhys Topley coming in doing a good job. Almost a sort of successful voyage or two of discovery for England at the limited oversight of things on this tour.
Yes, that's right. I think the signs were there during the summer, when England really sort of hit the ground running with white ball cricket during that summer against New Zealand and Australia, and they really carried that on. And I think what England are now getting is they're ticking some boxes of what you need to be a really good one day side. So you need a dynamic opening pair who score quickly but also can score, you know, game-defining runs. And obviously Hales and Roy both scored centuries, which, you know, will be another tick in their box. You need variety in the bowling attack, which Topley with his left-arm seamers and David Willey as well provide, along with Adil Rashid's leg spin. And you also need, you know, power hitters in the middle order. And I think with Josh Butler's return to form, Morgan and Moeen Ali, I think England, you know, are starting to tick some boxes on their way to being a real good side. I think they need to be tested maybe a little bit more. I don't think Pakistan played as well as they could have in both the one-day series and the T20 series. But the signs are there for England. And, you know, I was thinking the other day that potentially this could be the most depth England have ever had in white ball cricket. You know, they've got a lot of people who aren't playing, who weren't in the squad, who could come in and do a job. You think of the likes of Stephen Finn and Mark Wood, who are injured. So I think they're in a really good position. They'll be tested in the future in perhaps against better teams. But, you know, they're looking good at the moment.
And going from being tested to the Test series, Robbie, that's obviously a few weeks back now, but England didn't do quite so well in the Tests. But maybe some of the players coming into form in the ODIs, or only really sort of Josh Butler I'm thinking of, is a big positive looking ahead to South Africa.
Yes, that's right. And I guess Alex Hales is now in pole position to open the batting with Alistair Cook in that series. So his 100 will do him the world of good as well. But I guess in terms of Test cricket, actually, it's almost the reverse to the one-day side, whereas the one-day side, they are ticking boxes and looking to be, you know, quite a good terms of the Test series, England probably are still where they were at the end of the Ashes. They haven't really found an opening partnership for Alistair Cook. There are still concerns about the spin bowling. I think the middle order, there are some serious questions about the middle order as well. So South Africa is going to be a really big test for England's Test team. Like you say, it'll be interesting to see how the success of this one-day tour rubs off on the Test side. But, different players, different format. I think England still have a lot of work to do on their Test side, perhaps slightly less on the one-day format.
Despite the fact that Alistair Cook was named as the captain of the ICC Team of the Year this morning. But, yeah, I think you're spot on. But it's interesting, isn't it? He's got some sort of recognition from the ICC, even if not, BBC Sports Personality of the Year.
Yes, that's right. And I think, obviously, Joe Root and I think Stuart Broad are in that side as well. So I think that shows where England are. They've got some really standout test performers. I think you could bracket James Anderson in with those three as well, to say they've got a core of excellent test performers, of really probably world-class performers. But around that, they've got a lot of question marks around I wouldn't say squad players, but players just starting out on their test careers, on their test journeys, and that's where England are. So they do rely heavily on the likes of Cook to perform. As we said during the test series, if Cook and Root don't score runs, then England don't tend to score runs, and that's an area they need to look at.
And just looking back as the whole tour, sort of overall, Rob, if you had to maybe sort of give England a grade, what would you sort of say?
Well, I think the one-day part was really, really good. A lot of positive signs. The test series, again, there were some positive signs, but they fell slightly shorter than they would have won. So if you're asking me for a grade, I'd say B+, which is not too bad for an England tour in the subcontinent. I think they'd take that, but plenty to work on.
I think I'd go along with that, Rob. That's great stuff. Thank you very much for your time with us today.
No worries. Thanks, John.